been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast. There you go. Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. And don't forget to check us out on Discord, discord.gg/thecallpodcast. Join our server over there. What's up, Josh?
Yeah, when you do that intro, when you're like anything and everything, you sound like you could be like a circus in, like, intro guy. Like, welcome to the show. Like, do we have to talk about this game?
I think. Do you remember back in the early 2000s, there was Movie Phone? I think that's where I get that from. I think that's where anything and everything. I think that's from listening to Hello and Welcome to Movie Phone. I think that's where I get it from.
I've never heard of Movie Phone ever.
Oh, come on. I'm not movie that phone? Old.
We're like the same age.
Come on, it was a number you called, and it was a guy that told you what time the movie started.
Like the local movie times of all the theaters. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Come on, give me some credit.
Looking in the newspaper for that. Now we got Fandango. Now you can just pull up your phone and buy the tickets, and then now you can reserve your seat. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I just saw Clerks 3 the other day. I just saw Clerks 3 the other day. I used Adam's tickets. That's another one.
How was that?
I love Kevin Smith. I love Clerks, but this is the second time in a row I have cried in a theater because of a Kevin Smith movie. I'll say that.
You cry in a theater.
Getting old is terrible. That is what I have learned from these Kevin Smith movies. Like, they are so depressing now. I love Kevin Smith. I really do. I'm a huge fan, but I got out of that and I'm like, I got like nothing to look forward to. Good God, what is happening?
Well, good segue. We have not looking forward to with this football team because I don't even want to. Do we have to talk about this mess? Because I really don't want to. I know you don't want to. No one wants to hear this, but we got to put our spin on it. The two words that come to mind are disgusting and embarrassing. What a day. I mean, roller coaster of emotions. What a day indeed, man. There was a lot to unpack here before we move on to New England. What say you, man? Like, you know, again, where did you? I always have to ask where your spot was because it seems like you change a lot and you always go to the beach and whatnot. So, what was your spot this weekend for this disaster of a game?
So my girlfriend and I, we went to, it's called Mr. Bill's Tavern. We went there for the first preseason game as well. They had some really great specials. They had wings. Like, wings are kind of hard to find nowadays. There seems to be a shortage in wings. So they had, you know, wing specials and pizza specials and that kind of stuff. So that all was really good. That part of the day was great. But like you said, two words that to describe this game. I've got three words that can describe this game. We had them. That's what it was. This game was over. You know, Lamar got that great run, that great touchdown. Everything was going the Ravens' way. This game felt like it was over at that point. And unfortunately, not just myself, but it seems as if the team thought that as well. The team completely let this game slip through their fingers. That game was won. And then the fourth quarter happens, and now if I'm watching Good Morning Football or Up in Adams or any other show about football, it is how great Tua Tagovailoa is. The Ravens are all over these football morning shows for all the wrong reasons.
Let's get something straight. We love watching all these folks, Up in Adams, Kay Adams, formula of Good Morning Football. Let's get something straight here. Tua has 34 passing touchdowns in his career. Six of them came on Sunday.
Six.
How great is that? How great is that? That what, a sixth of, or a fifth of his touchdowns came in one game. Okay. Nick Foles threw seven in one game. Where's he at? Big whoop. Like, one game. Two, I haven't heard Tua's name other than this week. Like, big whoop. Thank you for the Ravens to do that. We usually make heroes out of nobodies, it seems. Dude, the game was won. I mean, when you're up 28-7 at half, I don't even know. Like, when you're up 28-7 at half, yeah, it's virtually a lock at that point. We still got to play second half. Both teams traded touchdowns in the third quarter, 35-14. Lamar's run was at the end of that quarter. 26 seconds left.
Yep.
You're up 21 points at home. Yeah, they got another field goal out of that somehow. The game was over. 21-point lead at home, fourth quarter. That was it. We all knew and thought that in our hearts and that was the dagger, right? That was it. Like, Lamar put the nail in the coffin. Like, that run solidified everything. That was embodied everything the Ravens are about. That's it. He put the game out of reach. He closed the game, boom, and put a cap on a remarkable game. And of course, it goes unnoticed because, Tua threw six touchdowns. Four of them came in one quarter. Okay, cool. Whatever. Pretty remarkable to do that when you leave the receivers as wide open as they were in breakdown schemes. It was a performance for the ages for the Ravens defense. And I'm going to set the record straight, man. I'm getting fed up with folks. The whole hate situation with Lamar, like, right away, seeing the reactions online from random people, right? You know, blaming number 8 for the loss. I'm like, excuse me. He didn't give up almost 400 yards passing in one quarter and 28 points. Like, he did all he could. And I heard some people call out, well, the Ravens had 3 possessions in the fourth quarter, didn't score. Okay. You know, they're not going to – what do you expect this team to score a touchdown every time they touch the ball? I mean, yeah, that's the expectation. But as a whole, the team put 38 points up. It was best brought breaking down. It was broken down best like this, Brandon. I'm gonna put out some things here. The team was disciplined. They committed one penalty for 5 yards. That's pretty remarkable, right? Considering that usually the Ravens can flag for some stupid penalty, whether it's a missed call or it was a warranted penalty.
Right.
The Ravens scored 38 points as a team, and they're up 21 points in the fourth quarter, and they lost the game. Like, that doesn't happen in today's NFL or any NFL. Like, yeah, I know that the Falcons Super Bowl 51 blew a 28-point lead or 25-point lead. They're up 28-3. We know late in the third, Tom Brady pulls them back, tied up 28, and they go into overtime and win. We know the story, right? This was probably – and I had a lot of people talk about the loss, but what gets lost in all of this is all the good in the game. And that's what happens because there's a big fat L in the column and the Ravens got lost on the scoreboard. You know, no one's talking about this. Devin Duvernay takes the opening kickoff to the house. I mean, Ravens are up 7-0 before most of the people were in their seats in the stadium. Like, really? Like, one of my buddies was getting into a seat right next to me. Literally just settled in. Kickoff happens. They take it to the house. Before he even gets to sit down and take a sip of his drink, Ravens are up 7-0. Like, it's going to be a great day, right? Lamar's going bonkers, throwing 3 first-half tutties. It's my new thing now. I'm calling them tutties instead of touchdowns. It's
I noticed that fun. Last week.
Yeah, tutties. Because TDS is like the acronyms, tutties. Something me and my friends coined here. Yeah, I know other people use it, but that's just something new I'm rolling with this year. So if you hear about it, excuse me, I'm going with new lingo. Testing it out. You know, Lamar throws 3 tutties in the first half, blazing, right? On fire. His halftime stats were remarkable. You know, the touchdown to Bateman was awesome. The slant route, taking it to the crib. You know, Mark Andrews getting his touchdown back on the one that was down short. How about DeMarcus Robinson getting in the mix with a touchdown catch? Devin Duvernay scoring on special teams. You had everything cranking. The defense relatively kept everybody in check. And, of course, I don't know if my buddy jinxed him. I'm not going to go that far. But we were joking, right? We're like, where's Tyreek Hill's name? Hasn't been called. And this is like the third quarter, and then the fourth quarter happened. I did say leading up to the game that this would be a test for the secondary with a Waddle-Hill combination. Pretty much snuffed out for three quarters, but you had to finish the game. But I felt like, you're right, the Ravens maybe thought that, okay, we're at 24, let's put on cruise control. No, no. A lot of, dude, I impact this so much, right? You remember how, and I talked to this with my good friend Paul, and his cousin brought some things up, right? You remember the Ravens, not the Ravens, but the Ravens' opponent this weekend, the Patriots. You know how they always, with Tom Brady, ran up the score?
Right.
And people are like, why do they do that? I had a great conversation with my buddy Paul. He brought up that one of his cousin brought up a point that he sort of agreed with, and I agree with too. I'm going to read you a text that I got from my buddy Paul, and he'll appreciate this. This offense takes off their foot off the gas when they get up big and let the opponent back in the game. Used to criticize the Patriots for bludgeoning teams, but now I get it now. Keep opposing or we'll leave no doubt. You know, I mean, the Ravens scored 38 points in the game. I mean, yeah, we won like 50, 55, like what's going to take? But, you know, I get to that point, but at the time the Ravens were up 35-14. I just feel that the defense had communication problems for one. Yeah, I agree with it to a point. Not saying like, you know, I'm not dismissing that point that you had the bludgeon teams. You have to show no mercy for four quarters. You know, we're going to go Cooper Kai on everybody, right? You know, strike first, no mercy. I didn't realize this because being live at the game, I didn't realize that Marlon Humphrey was not on the field for a few plays in the course they scored. So we know Marcus Peters was active. I thought that was going to be a boost for the secondary. It was just disgusting to see. I mean, no longer are the Ravens feared on defensive. Like, they couldn't get a stop. Like, third, there was a third down touchdown, I think, Tua threw on, like, third and long. Threw one of the touchdowns, I think it was to Gesicki, the tight end, if I believe. It just was disgusting to see. And the play calling was atrocious on fourth and short. They went for it on fourth down. If you're going to line up on fourth down in midfield, you better know you can get it. And I felt like the play call was telegraphed. You know, Mike Davis was lying on the left, but Lamar orchestrated him to get on, or he was lined up on the right. He moved him to the left, and then Mark Andrews came in motion from right to left. And then Lamar tried to run a little quarterback draw that way and got snuffed out. I know in the goal line, you know, when they were ruled down short, you know, they went for it early on fourth down. They caught the fumble, which really, really was a ton of run down. So, I mean, I know they took points away there. Who knew hindsight that those 7 points, if they'd have punched it in, would have been the difference in the game. I mean, not saying they didn't get it in there and that cost them the game. You're up 35-14. You got to close out games. Now, Ravens did everything right but closing it. And it ruined a lot of great performances of, you know, Marcus Williams getting in the mix with more interceptions and could have nearly had another one on the day. It ruined a Devin Duvernay kickoff return for 103 yards. It ruined a MVP-type day for Lamar Jackson. It ruined another great day for Rashad Bateman taking another long touchdown for two consecutive weeks. It ruined a great day from Mark Andrews getting in the mix. It ruined a touchdown debut from DeMarcus Robinson. It ruined a lot of things, and not a lot of people are talking about those things because all they can talk about is the defensive lapse and the inability to close out and get to it and that offense off the field. I mean, I was a little worried in the stands because when Tua started bringing them back, I looked at my buddy and I said, I'm concerned because Joe Flacco threw for 300 yards on this team. Yeah, it was 24-9. Caught was 24-3 in garbage time. They got that touchdown, missed the 2 points. And then now Tua just goes off. I mean, the Ravens have let up over well over 700 yards of passing in two games in this early season. And the passing defense is last in the NFL, has to get better. And what was thought once to be the greatest secondary in football on paper now is a clown show. And everybody's got to be held accountable, man. I mean, thank God there's no major injuries. I know that we had a major injury to Means. You know, towards Achilles, linebackers out, and I know the Ravens have been looking at some replacements this week. But what's sad is Lamar has to take over the running game. And for those folks who are like, oh, I don't want him to run, he's going to have to because the running backs aren't getting it done, man. It's disgusting, their stat line, and we need Dobbins back quickly. I mean, did you see the stat line with the running backs?
Now, what was it?
So here's the thing, man. Just Reba put it out there. The Ravens trio of Kenyon Drake, Mike Davis, Justice Hill, through two games, have 29 total carries. Listen to this. 10 of those carries have gone for zero or negative yards. Another 6 of those carries have gained just 1 yard, right? So 16 of 29 carries have gone for 1 yard or less. This team with these running backs are not going to get it done, and that's the reason why I feel like, you know, I'm not saying this is the reason why they lost the game or didn't score enough points. You know, Ravens, you know, even though they could be still one-dimensional in the passing game, it was great to see Lamar step up. I mean, the worry about that whole zero blitz thing is gone because he beat the blitz. I think all three of his touchdowns in the first half came against the blitz. He was remarkable. You know, I mean, Lamar himself had over 400 yards of total offense and accounted for 4 touchdowns himself. What more do you got? You want out of the guy? Can't do it all, man. It's got to rely. It's a team effort. You know, it isn't just number 8 out there in his supporting cast. There's a defensive side of the ball. It's got to get done. And, you know, frankly, I'm a little worried now and concerned going further into this year with this type of defensive scheme. You know, Mike McDonald's got to get in check, man. I don't know what schemes you're putting out there, but there was too many players. Even well before the comeback in the fourth quarter, I felt like they were gashing the left side. I don't know if you saw on the TV, but every time Tua went back to pass, they ate up what was the left side of the offense, right side if I was in the stands. And I'm like, yo, what are they doing? Every time the Dolphins go, they get a screen pass to the left, snuff it out, and let's move on. But it was the same stupid play. It was really getting under my skin. Like, they kept running the same schemes, and I don't think the Ravens were ready for their speed or had any answer for them. Maybe they took the Dolphins for granted, but I just feel like it's a sad time because Lamar's performance, pretty much his MVP type performance, goes unnoticed. And it's a shame that nobody's really talking about it. Yeah, 2 through 6. It's impressive. I get it, right? You know, Lamar kind of did the same fashion against the Colts last year when he had a remarkable game and took over and ended up with a franchise passing record. But still, a 21-point lead at home with committing one penalty and scoring 38 points collectively, really disgusting as a team. And you know, glad to get this one out early. Maybe they can learn from it. But right now, it makes you raise questions going into the next slate of games, right? Because it's like, now the identity is lost. Who are these Ravens? You know, yeah, now they've kind of went against the defensive identity kind of deal. Like, right, you know, the Ravens' defense was vaunted, right? Oh, can't move the ball, can't run. Remember back in the day how many – Honey Earl Rutgers they didn't allow in consecutive games was like 30, 40 or something like that. It was like two and a half seasons. You know, now, you know, forget that. You're allowing like big chunks of passing and big plays happen. And Tyreek Hill, no matter what team, is still killing us. I mean, we know what he's about. He's killed the Ravens before against the Chiefs. Big play after big play after big play. And we knew it was going to be a problem. And frankly, the Ravens need to get it examined quickly because, I mean, they not to overlook the Patriots, and I don't want to do that, but after what Stephon Diggs and his 3 touchdowns on Monday night and Josh Allen with his 4 touchdowns, what do you think they're going to do in 2 weeks in the beginning of October when they come to M&T Bank? Like, I'm concerned about, you know, even New England with Mac Jones and their passing attack and even with Jacoby Myers and Nelson Aguilar. So from breaking down the Dolphins game, man, it was a disappointing day, and I would like to know where you rank this because Larry, we were talking about on the way home, like, where do you put this loss of up there when the all-time worst losses, whether it's regular season, postseason, or both, where do you rank this loss, man? Like, where does it rank in your memory? There's a lot of tough losses, right? You have to think about the Bengals 4th and 12, the Tyler Boyd on New Year's Eve. You have to think about, you know, Billy Cundiff hooking it to go to overtime in the 2011 title game within the same game. Lee Evans dropped the touchdown to send him to the Super Bowl. There's a lot of ugly losses. Christmas night, me and you were together when Antonio Brown stretched across the field. You know, there's a lot of ugly losses with, you know, last minute with the Bengals and the Steelers. And, you know, a lot of folks asked me where this ranks. I'm going to put that out there on our socials as a poll. Like, you know, what's like, I don't even know if we want to put games out there or just do a trivia question. Like, what is your – I want to hear from fans. Like, what is your most hated and gut-wrenching loss to this Ravens? But this has got to be top 3. Wow. Like, especially with the performances that are just missed and under a liar because there's a big fat L and that's all people care about, which at the end of the day, that's what matters. I know I unpacked a lot and said a lot, but what say you, brother? What are your thoughts on this whole mess and the assessment and the state of affairs right now with this defense and collectively?
We can definitely put out that question maybe on our tailgate chat over on Discord. Let us know there. I'm thinking this is up there with that game that it was the Pittsburgh third string quarterback beating the Ravens. What was that, 2011, 2012, something like that, about 10 years ago? And even 2 years ago during the COVID year when the Ravens went up to New England and lost to the Cam Newton Patriots. I mean, that game was very easily winnable, and that they let them kind of slip through their fingers. So those are the two games that come to my mind. This game, we talked about it last year, I think the year before that, and the year before that. This team is so incredibly, like, Jekyll and Hyde. It's they can't get both sides of the football on the same page in the same game. Look at week one against the Jets. What did we say? We said that this team kind of started off really slow, and they're starting off slow. They were able to get the win against the Jets, but it didn't play like a full 60 minutes. It kind of took them a little while to work the rust off. This right. time, and the defense kind of kept them in the game against the Jets. This time around, the offense was just going on all cylinders. I mean, they were flying all over the place, starting the game off. Like we said, the Jets started off slow. They started the game off with special teams getting a touchdown. That's how the game started. So you can't start any better than that. So the offense really did show up. I think that the Dolphins kind of stayed in this game when I think did Lamar fumble at like the 2 yard line, or was something happened in the red zone in this game?
Yeah, and they went all the way down and scored.
Yeah,
because the Ravens they went for it on fourth and goal, tried to run it 3 straight times instead of passing. It got cute, and then it was a missed exchange fumble. I can't remember who was actually credited the fumble, whether it was Lamar or the center. I'm sure it's Lamar because he's the last one to touch it, but. They got it back, but it's still a turnover on downs anyway. So it really didn't lead to anything, but it led to the Dolphins scoring at that point. But other than that, the Ravens technically didn't commit a turnover. And that was the other stat. The Ravens didn't commit a turnover, committed one penalty, scored 38 points at home, had a 21-point lead and lost. This was up there with – I put up there when I was present for the AFC divisional playoff game against New England, their next opponent here in the regular season in 2014, Joe Flacco's last playoff game for the Ravens. The Ravens in that game had two. Not one, but two 14-point leads. They went up 20-14 when Justin Forsett scored a touchdown. I thought that game was over, too. I was like, we're going to the title game. Here we go, baby. We're back. 2 years later after Super Bowl, we got back to the title game. And, nope. They let the Patriots come back in with the trick plays and couldn't stop things. And Ravens ultimately lost that game, and that was it. That was the last time they set the playoffs until Lamar took over. So, the Ravens have – you're right. They do have a – track record for getting up and not finishing. Finish. Like we talked about all the time, finish. Like, yeah, you're up 21. Well, when they got within like 14 points, that when you should have said, oh, okay, let's go. And I don't know what the Dolphins did, right? I don't know what changed. I know the whole lights went out and the momentum changed in the Super Bowl. This exactly reminded me of a Super Bowl 47. Why? The similar scores, 28-6 at half. It was 21-6, and Jacoby Jones took the opening kickoff for the second half. It was 28-6. Ravens are at 28-7 at halftime, and all of a sudden, like out of nowhere, it was like a change of pace. Like Ravens couldn't stop San Francisco in that game, and it took a defensive stand at the end to really stop it because they virtually almost could have scored. Right, they were right there on the doorstep. Ravens couldn't stop for whatever happened since that Lamar run and whatever the Dolphins did. They adjusted, and the Ravens felt like they were just confused. Like, what's going on? Like, no in-game adjustments. No, let's stop this. Let's do this. I just don't know how. And there was lack of communication with, a few players. And I saw the breakdown on Twitter. It felt like there was safety help up top, and there wasn't. And they just let literally Tyreek Hill just run right down the field, like, unnoticed. I'm like, that can't happen. I don't care who's back there, quarterback, who's playing receiver. It's going to happen on Sunday. If they have a lapse in coverage like that again, you're going to see one of the Patriots receivers be wide open and take it to the house for a call there. So they got to clean it up and clean up fast. I really want to put this all behind us. I mean, I'm just tired of arguing about it, tired of talking about it. But the feeling that I had, we were all deflated and defeated, man. Like, it was a fun day at the bank. The wait started. It was the home opener. It was gorgeous out, humid, mid-80s. Tailgate was awesome. We get in there where the kickoff returns ruckus. Lamar's balling out in the first half, silencing everybody. He takes off on the run. The run was remarkable. The place was rocking. We're all we're all just you know, gushing, man. Like, psh, Lamar, man. And then just the fourth quarter, of it was a nightmare, man. It was a nightmare I don't want to relive. And unfortunately, it happened. And when the Dolphins crossed that goal line with less than a minute left and they went up 42-38, I was numb, man. I looked at the scoreboard and I'm like, who'd have thought? Mm-hmm. Who'd have thought they would give up 42 points, man? And just disgusting. And I don't – everybody's like, who's to blame? Is it Harbaugh? Is it defensive coordinators? Is it the players? I mean, at the end of the day, coaching's got to take accountability. But this is an 0-8. No, he – dude, remarkable performance. He had 140-something passer rating, if I'm not mistaken. You know, what more do you want out of an MVP-type performance of that? And not only that, but Lamar had an amazing day. He's actually the first player with 300-plus passing yards and 3 touchdowns and 100 rush yards and a rushing touchdown in the same game. And then also in the same game, he's the first player with a pass touchdown and a rush touchdown at 75 yards or more. And guess what? He, within that same game, here's the third trifecta hat trick. You love that, right? For hockey. Lamar owns the longest touchdown run and the longest touchdown pass in the NFL this year, and it came on Sunday. The dude had 318 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, 119 rush yards, 1 touchdown, and lost the game. Like, yeah, you know, the L looms large, and that's the most important stat of the day. But when he does that, I mean, what more do you want from your – what do you want – what more do you want from your MVP? Like, you know, in the first half, he had 11 of 13, 210, 3 passing, 39 rushing yards, you know, alone in the first half. I mean, he had 2 incompletions, you know, and then he ended up with 9 the rest of the day. I mean, you know, on the day, I mean, I just can't replay that. Like, he crossed that goal line, 26 seconds left, fourth quarter, game over. 35-14, we're 2-0 heading to New England, and it's not happening anymore. And the team's gotta figure out now, you know, but what a day, you know, overall. I mean, just remarkable on offense, and defense was so lackluster, it let the offense down. It's kind of like, I feel like the defense owes Lamar an apology, or the whole team does, right? It's like, you know, dude, you ball out like that, and no one's talking about you. It's all about Tua. Like, who cares? The Dolphins play the Bills on Sunday. I can't wait to see what Tua does against the Bills on Sunday, because then usually that's what the haters for Lamar are going to say when they play the Bills in 2 weeks. It's the measuring stick. Let's see what they do against the good, mighty Bills. All right, well, if Tua throws 1 touchdown and the Bills shellack them, then no one's going to be talking about Tua in a week. So he's the flavor of the week this week. Good for him, but I'm not impressed. It's not like he's not sustainable. Like, Lamar's just balling out week in and week out. Lamar already – you know, is on pace to do some great things this year. And we wish the young man success, but it's good to see some players back. Marcus Peters, I know Stanley and Dobbins are participating in practice this week, so we'll see what happens up in New England. But the Ravens really got to move on quickly. And everybody keep asking me for answers. I don't know, man. I don't know. You can't have miscommunication, but what I hear on the socials as far as the Ravens problems were, it was communication problems, and it wasn't like injuries or personnel going down. So it's like, look, let's clean that up. It's coachable, and let's move on and get it out. But right now, it's a performance that it's a stain right now. But I'm not comparing this season to any season. It's only week 2, but you have to think about the ugly losses in Ravens history during the year, right? Most notably 2012. Remember the Flaccoing game against the Broncos?
Sure.
Like, he threw the pick 6, Joe Flacco chased the defender down, you know, stretched out, dove and missed, and then he's laying on the field face down, and they got blew out, and who knew that they would have one of the greatest games ever in NFL history, let alone a playoff game and a double overtime victory in a divisional game weeks later against the same team. You know, who'd have thought that, you know, the Ravens in 2019, even though they lost in the divisional round as a 1 seed, they went on a 14-2 record, a 12-game winning streak, and right on the hinge of that, right before that all started, I was present for a Browns game. They got flat-out embarrassed, and they lose that game by like 21 or 18 points or something like that. They got blew out. Like, it wasn't even close. And everybody was talking about them, like, I don't know. And then all of a sudden, they just go on 12 straight on a tear, and it was a fun year. And a unanimous MVP for Lamar, and the team just set records. So, you know, we've seen ugly losses before, especially early. It's good to get it out now. Then week 12, week 13, week 17, when you're trying to get in the playoffs and have a performance like that. And it could be, something that hopefully is corrected on the defensive end, but they got to get it done quickly, man. And hopefully they can go out and take it out on Bill Belichick's Patriots, brother. And it's going to be a road test. And Patriots coming off a victory against the Steelers, which helped us out. But what also helped us out is the whole division lost. So the Ravens didn't lose any ground in the AFC North race. So, three teams tied at 1-1. The Bengals are looking like their true selves and 0-2 start. So things are looking okay. And again, it's only week two. If you think about it, the Ravens are one game off pace for the best record in all NFL, if not the AFC concern. So, it's a measuring stick and there it is, but there's a lot of room for concern for the defense going forward for sure. And they got to get it done quickly, brother. They got to correct it. It's just going to continue, but the Ravens, the pass defense, that's going to be the Achilles heel. It's going to cripple the team if they want to have any success.
Yeah, after the game, Lamar went out and he tweeted, respect to Tua and the Dolphins. And then Marlon Humphrey came out and said, bad defense loses football games. So Marlon Humphrey knows that wasn't the best performance by the Ravens defense. And Marlon Humphrey is hurt. He was limited in practice last week. He did play the game, but he's not at 100%. He's having a groin issue, and he's playing through that. Marcus Peters, this was his first game back after, almost a year. If I think it was a full year away from the game, so he's going to have some rust. And then you do have guys like Kyle Hamilton and some rookies that are having issues on the field because they're rookies. They're not, they can't do. You can't expect them to be veterans out there because this is their first time playing. So they're going to make mistakes. But the defense, 100%, 110% have to be better than what we saw against Miami. And hopefully we will see that. But unfortunately, we're still getting plenty of injuries on the field. And it's always scary to see that. But we are looking forward now to the Patriots game coming up on Sunday. And you never want to see it, but Mr. MVP Lamar Jackson was limited in practice. He was seen wearing a sleeve on his right arm and not throwing, which is unfortunate. So there's something going on with his right elbow. And Devin Duvernay and Marlon Humphrey both did not participate this week in the Wednesday practice as well, which you don't want to see that either. Marlon obviously not at a 100%. We saw that last week. But Devin Duvernay, the second he went down on the field during that game, I went, that's a concussion. He's done for the day. There was no doubt in my mind. I was sitting there with my girlfriend going, he's done. They're going to take him off the field. He's done. And sure enough, he was out. But he's not in practice right now. He is not participating due to that concussion. Concussions are very difficult to deal with. So we might not see Devin Duvernay, one of the guys that has really outperformed expectations this year. We may not see him on Sunday due to that concussion. We may not see him in 2 weeks due to that concussion. Only time will tell with that. But it does worry me that Lamar Jackson is limited. It does worry me that Marlon Humphrey did not participate at all. Ronnie Stanley, Isaiah Likely, they were both limited as well. Really, the only good news out of this week of practice is the fact that J.K. Dobbins was a full participant. Because
if you have any good news for us, bud, We're coming over in October. Stop being doom and gloom.
Well, like, I'm not. J.K. Dobbins was back, a full participant this week. It was a game time decision this past Sunday.
But
they
Harbaugh
still waited.
Said he's week to week, right? So he's out there practicing. He's week to week. Can read between the lines on that one.
I think we're going to see J.K. Dobbins this week. I really do. I'm hoping for that. Like you said, the last two games.
I hope you're not just J.K.
I'm not J.K.ing. It's all right. I want to see JK out there. I want him to be a part of this. Like you said, the running game the last 2 weeks has been abysmal. Let's have JK Dobbins out there when he's ready. I hope this is this week, but hopefully that'll help out, because especially if Lamar can't throw the ball or throw the ball as much due to this injury that he has, we're going to have to do something with the ball, and hopefully we'll be able to attack the New England Patriots on the ground instead of the air.
Well, the running attack's got to happen because the passing game is only going to sustain itself for so long. Now, it's remarkable been so far that Lamar's having a good time moving the ball, through the air, staying in the pocket. There's been a few times I saw him step up in the pocket on Sunday, which I love, you know, threw some darts out there. You know, he's progressing in that regard. No, and he still got the speed. He took off, and it was kind of funny. I didn't call the touchdown run, but I did say some form or fashion right before that run. I was like, Lamar's going to have to take over and run for this team because these running backs cannot get it done. And then all of a sudden, like three plays later, he takes it to the house for a touchdown call. So remarkable play, you know, and hopefully it's a sign for things to come. But, you know, Lamar can't run it for over 100 yards and a touchdown every single game to – you know, compensate for the lack of running ability for the rest of the team. I mean, no, and even so, I know that these runs are designed to go up the middle for blocking schemes and the play call, but I kept saying all day on Sunday, on the whole game on Sunday, is these guys got to go off tackle and get outside, like sweeps and get outside, because it seemed like some of the good runs that I've seen from these guys right now are, you know, getting outside the box and not running up the middle. They weren't getting any penetration. These guys aren't really known for that, and they don't have that ability to. Neither's JK. I mean, I think Gus Edwards was more the back for that. I can't wait to get these guys back. And, you know, it's going to be vital to the success of the long-term effect of the offense going forward. But right now, I mean, Lamar's done a remarkable job passing, and you can't really say anything about that. I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. He's tops, you know, in half the categories with like completions and all that, and percentage.
And I do have to interrupt you real quick. We're recording this midday on Thursday. The practice is happening as we speak. Lamar Jackson practicing without a protective sleeve and resumed his normal amount of throwing. So that's great news coming out of Thursday's practice. It looks like Lamar is A-OK.
Look at you with the breaking news. And now you can – okay, Josh, what were you saying?
Right. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, really Josh. Know. Keep going.
I don't really know. You stole my thunder. I just know that the Ravens, you know, they can't continue down the path of, you know, being pass happy. There has to be balance, and they got to start running the football effectively now for it to continue to be happening. But for two games in, you can't really complain about what the Ravens have done with the football through the air, especially Lamar's concerned. You know, some stats out there were pretty remarkable with Lamar in the way he's looking, you know, towards, you know, on pace for a season, another one for the ages. I mean, right now, you know, through week two, he's number one in touchdown percentage, yards per completion, net yards gained per attempt. He's number two in yards per attempt. He's number three in pass rating, number four in QBR. Call it what it is, but there's six categories there, and he's number one in three of them, and he's top, you know, he's top five or top three in the remainder. You know, he's on pace to do some great things. For everybody making fun of his passing ability, that's all said and done. I mean, yeah, we understand he's got to get better and progress, but, you know, more, but for what you've seen in 2 weeks, I mean, to have three first half touchdowns like that, when, you know, he had three the whole game, you know, the Sunday prior, and I thought he was going to go out for, you know, two or three more. Wish it sucks it didn't happen. He had the one rushing touchdown with the long run, but he's doing great things. And let's hope the team can back him up and close this then the game out next time they have a big lead. And, you know, next time they're up, you know, hey, Lamar, why don't we go out and throw another three or four in the second half? You have three in the first half. Let's double that and let's pour it on and beat these teams like 60-16 instead of being up 35-14. Have a little more comfortable time with it. But one thing that's lost in the shuffle, I wanted to comment on it. You do have to credit Dolphins in some way because they kind of did what the Ravens are used to doing to opponents. Is if I remember, because I took a break at halftime to go out to concessions, but if I remember, the Dolphins had the second half kickoff, and I don't think the Ravens touched the ball offensively till 7.5 minutes left in that quarter. I think the Dolphins took half the quarter and scored a touchdown because that made it 28-14 at that time. So unfortunately, that took some possessions away for the Ravens to be efficient with scoring the ball. And obviously Lamar had the long touchdown around the end of the third, but I would like to go back on that game and really understand how many times the Ravens touched the ball in the third quarter. It might have been two times total, which is insane. Might have even been three. But that was probably the turning point in the game where they went. And that's the thing with the defense, too, not only crediting the Dolphins doing what they did, but the Ravens couldn't get them off the field. And, you know, to have a long touchdown drive like that, that's typically what 2019 Ravens did, was just kill you with that kind of stuff. And that could have been it, the turning point in the game where you know, the Ravens, you know, Lamar and the Ravens didn't touch the ball until that late, and they had the halftime break. So I don't know.
The beginning of this game, it felt like Lamar and the offense was on the entire first quarter. Like, I don't even think we saw Tua and the Dolphins offense until the second quarter. They dominated the beginning of this game. So it's the complete opposite at the end of it. So it's really wild. I still can't believe they lost that game. It is
can't
unbelievable.
Believe it either. I still can't. It's a nightmare.
Yeah.
Nightmare I want to forget.
Also good news from Ravens practice today on Thursday. Marlon Humphrey, Devin Duvernay both returned to practice after missing Wednesday. So that is awesome to see. So that's perfect. Now
goes the concussion theory. He's going to be out. So there you go.
Yeah, that's good news. That's good news.
It was mild.
Yeah, so hopefully his brain is okay. He's passed some tests, so that's good to see him there. But let's talk a little bit more about the Sunday game up against the Patriots. The Ravens-Patriots, they have a lot of history, but this is a very different team. You know, there is no Tom Brady. There is no Cam Newton. This is Mac Jones, and this is his version of the Patriots. So what do the Ravens – I guess we've kind of already talked about a little bit about all the things that went wrong against the Dolphins, but how are the Ravens – do you think – how are they preparing for the Patriots this time around? Because this is a very different team than what we've seen in the past.
Absolutely, and if my memory is correct, I think it's the first time we've seen Mac Jones as an opponent. I think the last time, you're right, they did play the Patriots. I don't think they played them last year.
It was 2020, right?
Yeah, 2020, and Cam Newton was the quarterback because Mac Jones got drafted last year, which was 21.
Right.
It's his second year. So, and the Ravens are trying to do something they haven't done in their regular season, folks. I've seen people misinterpreting that and misdiagnosing that online. I have to correct them because it irritates me. Yeah, everybody's like, well, because a lot of people are pointing out they're trying to do something Sunday they never done is win up there. Everybody's like, well, wait a minute. They went up there. Yeah, it was playoffs. They have not won a regular season game in New England ever. Ever. So
ever?
Let's hopefully ever, ever.
Ever.
Not one. So, and it was the kind of the motion against the Steelers in the postseason up until the 2014 wildcard game, which I attended, beat Pittsburgh in the playoffs, and they finally got that monkey off the back and a 13-30-16 win there. So yeah, so the Ravens, you know, they got to prepare for Mac Jones. Obviously, he had an injury scare a few weeks ago, but he's back. You know, they just took care of the Steelers 17-14 on Sunday in the Steelers home opener. So they're trying to knock off another AFC North opponent, but we're not going to let them. The Ravens, you know, have to prepare for Mac Jones just like any quarterback, right? You have to respect the long ball, have to respect the ability. It's about respect. Don't take these guys for granted. I don't care if, you know, yeah, they got Hunter Henry and they got Nelson Aguilar and they got Jacoby Myers. Don't underestimate their ability to get things done. I think that's the key to the game. And I think another key is if Dobbins does play, is he going to be on a pitch count? Is he going to be let go full throttle? Are they going to throw him in as a lead back and take lead back duties? Or are they going to still put Kenyon Drake and Mike Davis in the mix and maybe still have Lamar run some schemes? I don't know. It's to be determined. It's still early in the week. But yeah, I would expect JK to be on a pitch count kind of deal and a snap count, you know, limited in the game to see him get some game action. But the Ravens got to continue the offensive attack and let it rock and roll. Bateman to continue to get involved, you know, with the long touchdown passes and Lamar just slinging around the field and being accurate and being smart. And, you know, kudos to the offensive schemes. You know, it's been working, but, you know, we need the running game to kind of catch up to the passing game right now. His passing game is the focal point dominant, but I think it's time for this team's identity to go from that rushing attack they were in 19 to the pass happy offenses they need to be and let Lamar being unleashed and unloaded, man. I feel like, you know, he could be held back in a little bit. And I think they just got to unleash everything at this point, but you know, the defense really shouldn't have to take this team for granted. They really have to know that, hey, they're all NFL caliber players and they can be dangerous. And the Patriots are going to, you know, do everything in their power to stop Lamar's scheme, and it's still Bill Belichick. Yeah, Brady might not be on the team, but, you know, BB's on the sideline still, man. And, you know, he's got the we just got a message while we're recording. It's coming. It's coming. So, live while we're recording, did you see the message on the call?
No.
Anita reached out to us and said, oh, my God, where's the pod already? Just kidding. No, really. Where is it? So – yeah, it's coming. We're recording in progress, so it is coming. So people are eager for the call, and we're going to give it to them. But just the keys of the game is, you know, take care of the football. They've been very good with no turnovers. I know Lamar had the one interception against the Jets, which was in garbage time. you know, trying to get the ball down the field. The Ravens have been very good in 2 weeks taking care of the football. Yeah, they had the blunder on the goal line with the fumble. I feel like that was a center change. You know, they need to be better and crisper at that, but let's get these things out now. I think as fans, man, we want them to be perfect in every facet, and it's just really hard to do, but kudos to the Ravens as a whole. You know, if anything, silver lining, one penalty for 5 yards, that's disciplined football. So need to be disciplined all around as far as schemes and coverages and doing your job. I mean, you have to echo what the great Bill Belichick always said, do your job. And the Ravens need to do that. You know, trust your guys, do your role. Don't think about, oh, well, he could have been better. No, like, you got to get on these guys. You got to stick on these guys. You got to play these guys. And, you know, they got to go up. And I heard Bart Scott allude to it in the breakdown. He's an analyst now. And he said, what better way to bludgeon a team after that kind of loss than having the New England Patriots, because they're a punchable team. So he goes, if there was any way to push around and punch around New England, a team, it would be the Patriots. So, you know, I remember him being all fired up in that infamous Monday night debacle, which is another loss for the ages for the undefeated Patriots in that year. But, Bart Scott went crazy and rogue, and I think that was the infamous flag throwing in the stands kind of deal with the fourth down stops, and then the Ravens get a penalty and all that mess. But it's going to be fun. Get to go back up to New England. At least it's not frigid and cold for a Foxborough game. It's, you know, late September, and the Ravens have their second road test again, three of the four to open the season against the AFC East. And hey, got to take care of Bill Belichick and the Patriots, man, because on the other side of that, we have the big marquee matchup against Josh Allen and the Bills, which is going to be fantastic coming here at the bank. But before we even get to that, looking ahead, got to get past the Patriots. And I don't even know if I even want to put a prediction out here, brother, because
you don't want to put a prediction out?
I don't know, because I don't know what to expect, because now with that defensive performance, it's like, I want you to show me what you got. Like, it's almost like I don't want to pick, like, I just want to be neutral and go, hey, Ravens, just go out and, like, as always, close your shot, go out and fly high and see what you can do. Like, yeah, I want to pick the Ravens, but then it's like, but what defense are we going to get now that we know that they're capable of blowing up in the end of the game with a big lead? Now I'm almost like, show me what you got, Ravens. Like, I almost want to challenge them. Like, you know what? I'm not even going to pick it. I'm not going to pick against you. I'm not going to pick for you. I'm going to just say, hey, I'm going to observe this game. Show me what you got. And I'm going to start resuming my picks the following week and see what we got for the Bills. And that's kind of where I'm at with this game right now. I don't even want to predict it. And it's not because I'm mad with the defensive performance. It's not because we're all still disgusted and mad. Don't get me wrong. But I just don't know with this identity. Like, I don't know. Now that knowing they can allow that to happen, can they stop the Patriots? I don't have an answer for you. Now I'm kind of just waiting to see. I've kind of lost their – they've lost their identity for me. So I know what the Ravens could do offensively. We know what Lamar can do right now. So it all runs for him. He's having MVP-type numbers. He's on pace to do some great things. So let's see what happens. So I'm just going to enjoy this one, staying neutral. I can't predict this one, man. I can't. I don't know what you can do. If you want to put it out there, but I just can't. I'm going to stay neutral at least right now, see what they got.
Well, I still have faith in my Ravens. I think they know the mistakes that they've made, and I think they know how to fix them. I'm going to say Ravens are going to be winning this one, and I'm going to put out 27-17 Ravens.
I think they rebound, okay. Okay.
I think everybody's ticked we are.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think they go out and really take it out on the Patriots, all honestly. I don't know how this one's going to go. Again, it's show me what you got. And I'm going to stick to that. I'm not going to waver. You know, I think probably the first time I've ever stayed neutral in a game pick. You know,
because you're losing faith. You're scaring me.
I'm not losing faith. This is in between, man. You know, I want to pick the Ravens. I want to pick the Patriots. You know, it's like the Ravens are favored in this game, by the way. You know, on the road. So that gives you some hope right there. The Ravens are favored even after the debacle. So they are the favorite. It's easy to pick the favorite. I mean, you know, but. You know, I'm going to challenge the Ravens. Show me what you got. Show me what you got.
I think we're going to see Josh in some Britt Baker black and gold soon, the way he's talking.
Wow. I'm not wearing no Britt Baker outfit. That's where you're going. Man, oh man.
I don't know. We're going to see Britt Baker soon.
Don't make me get the glove.
We're going to see her soon. I think, I don't know, the way you're talking, the call, is that going to turn into a Steelers podcast the way you're talking? Man, you're scaring me.
Oh, he's going there. Steelers podcast. Ew.
You're scaring me, man.
Dude, this team's scaring me, man. Like, that shouldn't have happened. Got to do better.
Yeah.
Like,
and I think they will.
Hey, I'm going upper levels, man. I'm like, look, in order to earn a game pick for me, you gotta at least finish.
Right.
And for me, I could easily pick the Patriots in this game because given the team's last performance, step up and stop them. And then maybe we'll earn some game picks here, but the next one's going to be tough to pick too against the Bills, but we'll see how it goes. I don't know. I'm not ready to make that determination. I just don't know what Ravens are going to get, man. I mean, you have number 8 in the sidelines on offense. They obviously want to pick the Ravens or favored. Obviously want to pick the Ravens, but you know, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to shake out, brother.
All right. Well, hey, Josh isn't sure. I'm saying Ravens are going to get a win on this one, but what do you guys think? Let us know. Make sure you check us out again over on Discord, discord.gg/thecallpodcast. Josh, have we covered everything for this episode of The Call?
Unlike our secondary last Sunday, we did. Boom. So quote the Raven, never mow.
All right, guys. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. Make sure you go over. Again, check us out over on Discord. We're going to keep bringing it up. discord.gg/thecallpodcast. Join our server over there and chat with us. Let us know what you think about this game. Who's going to win? Is it going to be the Ravens? It's going to be the Patriots. You let us know over on Discord. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review. Rate us over on Spotify. And let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok and Discord. Anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you so very much. And I already put the question up there on the Ravens, or not the Ravens, the Call Discord page and the Call Tailgate Talk. What is the Ravens' worst loss in your opinion? I'd love to hear from you guys. Check us out on Discord and to answer the question. And sifting through, I love what you put up there with Mark Ingram's statement from up in Adams. If you don't like Lamar Jackson, you're truly a hater. And I've been calling people out, like, right away. Need your reactions to the game. You know, Lamar this, Lamar that. And I'm like, Lamar balled out, so you better back up because there's no way this loss was on him. I don't care, you know. And I call people out saying, okay, you want this loss on him? Then every loss under Joe Flacco, that's his fault. You know, and I was quick to even point that out. Remember the Saints game? That could be another big looming loss. Remember Saints in 2018? Joe Flacco throws the last second touchdown. Tucker misses the extra point. They lose by the point. And, you know, if you're quick to blame Lamar for Sunday, then blame Joe Flacco for that game. The same comparison. So be able to back that up. And like Mark Ingram said, you know, he did the whole big trust. Woo woo, 2019, former Raven in his own right. And you got to trust everybody around you. Do your job as, you know, even though Bill Belichick's our opponent this weekend, you know, that's his mantra. And the Ravens need to subscribe to that. You know, whatever Harbaugh is preaching down there, kind of needs to come off the two coattails of his enemy on the sidelines this weekend, man. And, you know, I got to trust everybody, do your job, you know, respect the opponent and know that, you know, there's 4 quarters to be played. How many times Ray Lewis see this, Brandon? It's a 60-minute bowl game. Go on YouTube and listen to Ray Lewis' speech and comments. He says it all the time in a game. It's a 60-minute bowl game. Like, you got to finish, man. And the Ravens need to finish off the Patriots and go to 2-1. That's exactly what I want. I mean, you want a game prediction out of me at the end, there it is. Like, I want the Ravens to bludgeon them, take their anger out, and win the game. But in the same respects, you know, you are a little apprehensive because what are you going to get? You know, we can even take the Forrest Gump approach. It's Ravens team's a box of chocolates. Don't know what you're going to get. Like, I have no idea. Like, what are we going to get? Are we going to get a team that's going to go out finish? Are we going to a team that's going to go up big and kind of relax a little bit, let the team back in? Dolphins had no business winning the game, let alone, you know, Tua looking amazing. You know, let's cut out the haters and let's cut out the chatter and let's show that the Ravens get back to some dominant football. And looking forward to it on the road, and I can't wait to get it started up in Foxborough on Sunday. It's another AFC bout, and I can't wait to get it done. Baltimore Ravens, how about it? Let's go up to Foxborough. Let's start playing like Ravens and let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.